You are listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, the station that loves you. And this is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. And this program is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with George's Food Truck and Kauai Store.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
Chef George of the Jungle Food Truck, now in Wailua at Kamokila Hawaiian Village, serving local burgers, gyros, and falafel. Also, Summer's Organic Shave Ice with fresh fruit. Open Sunday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. 783-0230 for takeout. Chef Georgia DeJungle supports KKCR.
The Kauai Store is located in Kapa'a on the highway in front of Kostilas. The store has authentic Kauai products including clothing, snacks, art, coffee, crafts, and more. We even have local food samples. The Kauai Store products are also available online at thekauaistore.com.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. So welcome, everybody. Today we are largely talking about health, health of the planet, health of the people, health of all kinds of things. I have a number of guests today in the studio with me at the moment is Jeffrey Jackson. Let's make sure you're mic'd up.
Hello.
Hello, and he is there. And Pat Geegan will be rolling in here any moment now. And later on in the show, I'm going to have Hadley Sears and Terry Lynn will be in here. And we will be hearing in the second half of the hour a little bit more about people. Oh, gosh. Pat just walked right in. Hello, Pat.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Now we get him from the background. And I also have Malcolm helping on the phones.
Hello there.
Let's try again.
Hello there.
Yep. There's Malcolm. So, Pat, let's make sure you are mic'd up.
Okay, testing.
There you are. Okay, so we are going to be talking about the health of the planet and the people. I have a few little announcements to do right at the very beginning. Pat, you are involved in a lot of things. You are Apollo Kauai. You are on Kauai Island Utility Cooperative. And what else am I forgetting?
Zero Waste Kauai, of course. And then I'm also a board member for the Hawaii Hospital Services Corporation. So that's the board that helps run KVMH and Samuel Mahilona.
That'd be Kauai Veterans Memorial Hospital. That's
correct.
Right. So only that. And then he is one of these people who is very active in all kinds of things. So the water department or the board of water, everybody, actually, it's mostly the water department. Today at 5:30 are going to be in the county council chambers, and they're going to be talking. It's a public hearing, so you can give your mana'o back. You can share your opinion on the facilities reserve charge. Pat, have you followed that at all?
Just a little bit. I mean, I thought I heard this charge originally about 2-3 years ago. They were talking about doing it.
Well, it's going to go up to $18,000. It's going up from $4,000 and some change to about $14,000. So it's almost a $10,000 increase. That's to get your water service turned on. So it's a big deal, but it's not simple. And they have been sounding the alarm for about 3 or 4 years that they're struggling with knowing how to be paying for the infrastructure we need to do. And just so you know, before you go and get too loud about it, it's always nice to be kind. that the choice they have is when they have a $10,000 increase. I mean, before they wanted to have a $14,000 increase. When they put it on the upfront cost for the new people who will be putting in water, then they bear the burden. If they keep that cost down, then everybody's water bill's got to go up. So it's not easy. And I'm looking over at Malcolm because he is a young man. So whenever we do put a lot of this burden on something like the water meter, we're throwing it to your generation.
Oh, man. Thanks, guys.
Anyway, that's one thing. We just did get a call in for two dogs that are lost. Malcolm, you took this call. That was two dogs, right?
Yes, two dogs. There's one that's 8 years old. That's a German Shepherd mix pointer. There's another one that's black and white mix, a Whippet mix that's 8 months old. The black one's a male. The female is black and white. They're gone since today at 10 o'clock this morning around Molawa'a. So if anyone has found dogs, it would be much appreciated to help out Scott. And his number is 808-346-7122.
So maybe say that one more time. The number.
808-346-7122.
Okay, so if you found Scott's dogs, give him a call. Thank you. And I want to say it's really tomorrow, but my baby boy, Ian Cowden, is going to be 18 years old. That's kind of like a big deal for him.
and for mom.
And I think he's going to celebrate it with a tattoo. His mother has not signed on for one. I don't really care, but it can be fully his responsibility and not mine.
It's not the first time an 18-year-old has celebrated their birthday getting a tattoo.
Yeah, so anyway, Ian, at least, that's the word that he shared with me. So then, another big thing, Auntie Annabelle Cam. Do you know Annabelle?
No,
Auntie
I don't.
Annabelle, she's an amazing woman. She, you know what I know her most as, she lives in Kalihiwai, and I know her most as really being good at sharing Lapa'au, health and healing. And so today this show is about health. But Auntie Annabelle, she passed away very, very sadly. What I will say, though, I saw her just like 3 days before that, and she seemed absolutely fine. And sometimes there's a blessing in being just fine until you transition. So that's what's happened to her. But she's kind of an amazing woman, and she is a Pa by birth. Joseph and Elizabeth Pa are her parents, and so Chauncey Pa, she's got a number of brothers and sisters and grandchildren and sons. I'm friends with Chris Cam. He's a good fisherman. But her service is going to be this Saturday at St. Sylvester's in Kilauea. We really need to go in there and honor her. It's going to be at the Catholic Church, which is right next to Kilauea School on Kolo Road. And so 9 a.m. will be the start with visitation, 11 a.m. the Mass, and then the Paina and, you know, celebration will be at Annabelle's Hale at Kalihiwai, so down towards Anini. She's over there on the left. So, Auntie Annabelle, we love you and we honor you, and you are very, very important to this community, and we wish all the blessings to the very large ohana that she has. And it's always tough to have people like that leave us behind. She's 82 years old, so we can celebrate that she has had a number of really, really good years. And like I said, good to the very end. Another piece that I want to just point out to people is, you know, because it's going to flow in. Pat, you're in here to be talking about this film that's coming up that's called This Changes Everything. And That's about activism, and it's about activity and bringing people out. And really, Auntie Annabelle was beginning to be an activist in her later years. A lot of times people have, you know, had straight jobs and been busy, and a family member could correct me at 826-7771, and maybe she always was that way. I know her from doing, like, the Malama Kalihiwai program with the kids, the fourth grade at Kilauea School. She's done a lot of really wonderful things, but she started to get a lot more active with the environment and the health, and she was involved in these Aha Moku meetings and starting to really look at that. And I want to bring up that we have a number of what I would call Kanaka meetings coming up. Leimana is coming over from the Department of Land and Natural Resources, and the Aha Moku elections are this month. The first one will be this Wednesday at this Wednesday at the Anahola, at the Kapaa Library, but that's for Ko'olau, you know, Kilauea, Anahola, that area in between. So they look for a po'o, or a leader of the Aha Moku, which is a region. There's five main regions here. The sixth region is called Ni'ihau, and that's with Ke Kaha as well. So it's a region on the very, very west side of the island. And so they're trying to have leaders or po'o from each ahupua'a, which is the valleys or the watersheds within the Aha Moku. And it's a big deal. And November 20th at the Wilcox Elementary School, there is another big meeting about this Na'i Aupuni vote that's coming up. The ballots are out, and my understanding is the people holding this meeting are concerned about it, that they don't feel that this is necessarily the way to be voting for a new group of people that would basically, best I can tell, it's looking at the new internal leadership. It's what the Department of Interior was working on for the government-to-government relations. So the people who are concerned about it feel that that puts the Hawaiian people like a Native American tribe. And not everybody wants to feel like that's a Native American tribe, because the Hawaiian nation was a Hawaiian nation of multiple ethnicities and not just a bloodline. So that meeting is November 20th. Do you know Liko Martin, Pat?
Yes, I do.
Well, I saw him over at a friend's house on Sunday, and he is so witty and so bright, and he sang me a song, and I thought, okay, I tried to get him to be singing it, you know, on the radio, but he left this morning. He was over here for some specific thing, but he left me with a recording of it, and it's called Ua Mau Ka'eo Once Again, you know, and I think it is very clever, and it says a lot. And when you listen to it, really pay attention to the piece that talks about 2 minutes, because that sort of boils down what happens in almost all of these meetings that we go to. Let me hope that I got it on here right. Uh-oh. Is it coming out? Is it coming up? No. I should have Pat come over here and help me for a second, because Pat used to be a station guy. And so, okay, Malcolm's coming over and helping me.
The DOI, Department of Interior, that is, came into town, and I hear they've come back to town, but I don't see them coming through the front door. So this song is for all Ohana, and this is for us.
And Laulani, T.L. is the second voice in here. Laulani T.L., Liko Martin. Thank you.
opening of interior was on its way. They gave us free food and a place to stay. You got 2 minutes and we all go away. 2 minutes and we all go away. Well, the climbing was kind of like a lover. The Ramos was falling time and time again. The answer was no.
Martin and Laulani TL, and he is very clever, and she is really an amazing woman as well, and quite the healer, quite the speaker, and she's the more the Facebook person. The whole revolution is happening on Facebook, probably Instagram too, but it is definitely on the internet, and those red ribbons, that's why people wear red shirts when they are standing up in some protest. But the red ribbons were for Liliuokalani, Queen Liliuokalani, more than 100 years ago. 123, I think it's been. So, yay, Liko, yay, Leilani. Pat.
Hi, Felicia. How are you?
Good. So tell us, who is Apollo Kauai and what is their objective?
I'd be happy to. So Apollo Kauai ultimately is a group of volunteers, people who are concerned specifically around energy. And I think one of the things that I should, which of course translates into sustainability, energy just being one component of things that really need to happen in this country. But anyway, the mission of Apollo Kauai is to promote energy efficiency and conservation, to support the development of appropriate, socially and environmentally responsible renewable energy resources, and to advocate for the use of energy-efficient transportation systems. So that's the formal mission that if you go out to their webpage, you could find out there. And really, it began in about 2004, 2005, 2006. At that time, there were a number of proposals out there for other people who wanted to provide energy to the power lines on this beautiful island, our grid here. And some of those proposals out there, none of which came to fruition, actually had as a backup generation source coal, which obviously brought a lot of concern out from the folks living on the island. And I think Apollo Kauai was kind of born out of that and has continued promoting energy efficiency, conservation, as well as making sure that those that are making decisions about the future energy options on this island are getting a message that is in line with their mission.
And you, or Apollo Kauai, has done a series of town meetings. I know that we have put on the air at least one of them.
Yep, no, that's absolutely true. So Apollo Kauai, we go through our phases depending on what's going on. Sometimes we're more active, sometimes a little more laid back, but we're definitely in one of our active modes right now with everything that's going on, all of the events, everything from the Keystone Pipeline and how that's turning out, you know, other things going on, the climate conference is coming up in Paris. So we're definitely in an active mode, and we've had, I believe, three meetings over the past, say, 5-6 months. The first one was kind of looking at climate change in general. We had some KIUC folks there. We had folks from the university focusing on sustainability and really just a good, well-rounded discussion about kind of what's happening out there. And I know that was the one, Felicia, we had set that up for.
Yeah, we did a live broadcast on that one. And the next one, it couldn't go to. And I saw that you had this liquid natural gas, which I don't know enough about, but I think, do we really need another thing like that? Was that promoting it? That it looked like maybe it was looking at like it's a serious choice for Kauai?
Well, I'll tell you this. What Apollo Kauai wanted to do was really get the whole discussion out there. So you did have folks from KIUC there. You had people from the gas company there. You had Mina Marita, the PUC chair. And we had, who was it from Blue Planet? I forget his name. Jeff Michelina. So we had both pro and con and kind of, you know, what the choices are. And it was a good discussion that really did bring out a lot of things. You're asking whether this is in the future for Kauai. Well, I would say that it definitely is something that the co-op is looking at. We haven't made a decision one way or the other.
The energy co-op?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's really, we feel like we have to do our due diligence to make sure that we are looking at all the different alternatives out there and then really present those and see, you know, what direction people want to go, because it's the same struggle that they talk about, and this changes everything. The movie that I'm here to promote is really where does the money fit in versus the environment? Where is, you know, what direction do you go? And there isn't anybody on the island who wouldn't like cheaper rates. LNG could probably deliver that from what we're seeing.
Liquid natural gas.
Liquid natural gas.
So we'll talk about that a little more after we watch this clip. And Naomi Klein, I think of her as writing the book Shock Doctrine. She's usually more looking at kind of the dark side of American foreign policy, though she did have a book, I think it was called No Label, and then No Label, and that was about, you know, what it is when we get all, I've noticed Jeffrey's nodding his head. Do you want to say what No Label is about?
Oh, no.
Okay, all right. No Label was about why you don't, you know, the problem of being sold into becoming bulletin boards for different companies. It's a consciousness thing. So this one, This Changes Everything, is a little bit different than her normal story. She was at Bioneers. She's done some speaking there, many, many places. She's actually quite the activist. So you're listening to KKCR, Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. Pat Gagan's in the studio with me. So is Malcolm Holden and Jeffrey Jackson. So we're going to hear the trailer for this film. So when you think, this is what it is. And I listened before I picked it. And it's fine to listen to. When you're looking at it, it's even stronger. So Malcolm's going to be behind me just in case I can't make my sound work. But let's see.
For the longest time, I couldn't look at it.
I was in denial about climate change for longer than I care to admit. Told myself the science was too complex, that the environmentalists were dealing with it, that it wasn't my issue.
The amount of fossil fuel that we're combusting year on year is growing. We're going in completely the wrong direction.
If you're talking about climate change, you're talking about sharing a common atmospheric space. That common atmospheric space has already been filled up with emissions by a piddly little population of the rich of the world. That is inequality. If that is not fixed, we don't fix the problem of climate change.
Once I began to look, I was struck by how wealth and power have shaped every aspect of our response to this crisis. And not all of us are equally responsible.
In the shadow of the Arctic Circle lies Alberta, Canada's massive forest, undisturbed for 10,000 years, until now. It's oil, a sticky, tar-like oil called bitumen.
What they would do first is they would log off all the timber. They bring dozers in and they strip the overburden, is what it's called. So they will strip all the subsoil, the topsoil, and the clay off of this. Then they get down into the bitumen. Sometimes it can be 30 or 40 feet down, even further.
We're now hitting really extreme and difficult resources and have much higher environmental footprints and much higher carbon emissions.
I've lived my whole life in Canada. I think of the tar sands as the whole at the center of my country, an undertaking so vast and violent that we have trouble looking at it. It has changed us, this great machine that pretends to turn nature to its will. Canada's government recently threw out decades of environmental law to remove all remaining breaks on tar sands expansion.
Oil companies developing the oil sands are paying billions of dollars. I mean, in fact, $22 billion a year are going into the government coffers from resource development overall. It's benefiting every part of the country.
You make about $4,000 a week, and that's too much money, man, too much.
I work half the year and make about $150.
Grossness. That's why we're here on a, what's today, Tuesday, Wednesday?
Yeah, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Tuesday, Wednesday, drinking at a bar, man. We shouldn't be doing that. We should be learning things, keeping it real, but you make mistakes, right? You're young, you learn, you step. It's good stuff.
It's the money that brings everybody here. In the long run, it's not because I think everybody loves what they do. They're losing a lot. You look at the rate of divorce or separations when people move out here to work, it's huge. You see it in people's faces because they're leaving their families behind.
We said you can use the land to the depth of a plow. Anything beyond that is our responsibility. And we use those words because when these people came over, they wanted to own the land. We don't believe that. That's why in this treaty, there's no talk about ownership. We will always have an inherent right to the land. We will always be able to hunt, fish, and forage the same as we did yesterday, the day before that, and the day before that, and you'll be able to do that tomorrow, the day after that, and the day after that.
Just in the past little while, like a month, there's just been like one spill after the other.
Hi. My name is Crystal Lehman, and I'm a member of the Beaver Lake Cree Nation. I got a report that there was a spill out on the Primrose site.
I can't give you access.
This is the Beaver Lake Cree Nation traditional hunting territory, and it's my constitutional right.
I respect it. You need to get a hold of Mr. Dick Brinkley. Okay. He's the range activities officer and the First Nations liaison officer for the Canadian Forces at Four Wing Coal Lake.
Pulling up, Dick Brinkley.
Hi, Dick. This is Crystal Lehman calling, and I'm a member of the Beaver Lake Cree Nation.
Uh-huh.
I'm also sitting here with one of the leaders of the Beaver Lake Cree Nation.
we would greatly appreciate the opportunity to just go out and be able to put our minds at ease over what is happening out there currently.
Well, you do not have an access agreement, so in reality, there's nothing I can do for you from that point of view.
How do we go about getting an access agreement?
I would direct you to speak to Alberta Environment, AER.
I know who AER is.
Right.
Okay, very good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
What can one person do?
One person can do a lot.
The environmental impacts of the development in the oil sands is absolutely barbaric. Put two and two together and you feel physically directly responsible for affecting somebody else's health downstream. I do not support shutting down the tar sands tomorrow, by any means. What I support is a transition over to a renewable energy source. The renewable energy industry would employ exactly the same workers that the oil sands does. Using some of the money that is made up there, we can build 20% wind, we can have 20% solar. All of these things are going to benefit oil sands workers and our society.
As fossil fuel companies drive into new territory, their pipelines and export routes are connecting communities along the way. The metal pathways of dirty energy mapping a new organic web of resistance. This latest wave of direct action is, in a way, the birth of a new territory. Some call it Blockadia.
So, the first night being here in this pipe?
You see the incredible transformation that happens. They become stronger, they stand up. Isn't this the society we want?
Recent years have been filled with surprise rebellions. These moments are rare, and that means they must leave more behind. New laws, new systems, new deals. I think climate change can be the catalyst we need, our common lens.
We are all part of this movement.
What if we realized that real disaster response means fighting inequality and building a just economy, that everyone working for a healthy food system is already a climate warrior? So too are people fighting for public transit in Brazil, housing and immigrant rights in the United States. When there are movements battling austerity in Europe, extraction in Australia, pollution in China and India, environmental crimes in Africa, and the bad trade deals that lock in all of these ills everywhere. I believe the movement we need is already in the streets, in the courts, in the classrooms, even in the halls of power. We just need to find each other, one way or another. Everything is going to change. And for a brief time, the nature of that change is still up to us.
And the Aloha Aina movement of Hawaii is hard and fast in the line of that, really making a difference regularly. And I think that, you know, over here, you know, our homeless is a real new part of that that needs to be coming more to the front. Malcolm, do you have a response to that film clip?
It was just really good to see people actually standing up. You know, we need more of that, people being conscious and being able to stand up and not be okay to be comfortable with the living situations that we have now. Like, really just, like, put down everything and stand up for what you know is righteous about yourself and about the Mother Nature, about our world. That's what I got from it. It was, like, really powerful, really impacted me.
Thank you. And Pat, when is this film going to be playing? And we're not allowed to say prices here, but I will say that somebody who has nothing can make it through the door without any problem. So.
That's right. You'll see me there.
So what time is it's what dates and what time and where?
Sure. There's going to be two showings, and we're partnering, just so folks know, it's Apollo Kauai along with Kauai Community College, Ho'o'oluwehi, the Sustainable Living Institute there. And we're going to have two showings. The first one is Saturday, November 14th.
This Saturday.
At 6 o'clock. And the following, a week later, on Sunday, November 22nd at 6 o'clock. So if you can make it Saturday, this week would be the one to go. If you can't, you'll have another chance the following Sunday on the 22nd. And these are all at KCC in their cafeteria.
And I'm planning to go. I'm going to go this Saturday. I'm happy to bring people with me. Jeffrey, what did you get out of that clip?
Oh, boy. Well, when I was sitting here before I came into the studio, I was hearing Neil Young over the studio speaker, and
it might have sounded like Neil Young. That's one of our singers, I
oh
think.
Oh boy, well,
and maybe I don't know. Anyway, go on.
Well, I've been covering him as a health journalist. I've been covering his push against Monsanto, and he called for a boycott. And I have this in front of me. I pulled this up, and I want to read it. Neil Young quotes, corporations were originally created to serve us, but if we don't appropriately prioritize, they will destroy us. And I think this is really important. He says corporations don't have children, they don't have feelings or soul, and they don't depend on uncontaminated water, clean air, or healthy food to survive. And I think that's really important for people to understand, at least for me it is, because the climate change debate, and I think, Pat, what you're doing is amazing, because it starts at that grassroots level. It has to, if it's dictated to the people by the corporations that are doing a lot of the polluting, and that, you know, let's be honest, that have some of the political process captured, we can't, at this point, I don't know if we can trust the outcome or trust the words that come out of their mouth, and it has to come from the community at that level.
And Pat, what are you, when a person comes to this film, what are they going to expect? Is there any speakers that are coming, or how is it going to be formatted when they're down there, and how are people going to learn
Sure,
more?
So basically what we're going to do is, I mean, we'll have a basic intro, we will watch the film, and then after the film we're going to have an opportunity to discuss the film, what we saw, what we heard, what our reactions are, as well as then we'll explain a little bit about some of the different action groups that Apollo Kauai has going right now that people could join. And it's very interesting because a number of the Apollo people got together, and I wasn't able to be with that group when they did preview the movie, just so that they knew what they were getting into. It's a new release. We just had got the rights to show it. And their reactions were everything from, this really isn't a climate movie, to, you know, more of what, like Malcolm was saying, how powerful seeing these visuals and hearing the stories. And that's really what this is it's a group of stories that, in essence, is showing you how people, how groups are dealing with the changes, the feelings of the climate change that is occurring, as well as the whole larger capitalist system, which is actually driving a lot of the problems that we're having. So you get to see that, but it's got the good side that you're seeing how people are fighting back. You know, whether it's the indigenous folks up there trying to save their land, you know, coming from that background of working with the land, not the Western idea that we've had here in America is we've got to go out and we've got to exploit the land. We've got to take from it what we can, and it'll be okay, but we're the masters of it. And so it's really taking a look at it differently, and I think, you know, I wish there were fewer people who still thought that going out and getting the resources out of the land was the way to do it. Unfortunately, too much of that's going on. We need to change our consciousness, and that's what this is about.
Yeah, and I know sometimes when I watch the political debate and I see it get overly warped into the Christian message, like super dominion of the earth, but I super dominion is being, I would have to say, the antithesis of what is good for all of us, and I don't think is what is meant in what happens with that.
No, and that's I've always looked at things like climate change, like the issues we're dealing with is, you know what, Every one of us is making a decision every day, multiple decisions that have an impact, either good or negative, on this greater mothership Earth. And so the question is, you know, what are you doing right now? And is that adding to the problem or is it adding to the solution? And I'm hoping that if there's enough realization, and maybe this is, you know, pie in the sky, but if there's enough realization around the world, people will start making those changes. And the problem is they're too slow.
They're too slow. Yeah. And I saw, like, how Naomi had said, climate versus capitalism. And I would say it's capitalism gone rogue.
And that is part of what, you know, she looks at. And it's everything from, the movie kind of comes out of the thesis of her book, a nice little 500-page, little easy reading. I'm only about halfway through it, but I'll tell you, the book really does get into how our current economic system, basically capitalism, really is driving so many of the problems, and even looking just at climate change. You know, you heard that the movement that started, it's, you know, in order to battle climate change, we have to have a just system. And so her movie starts out, you know, portions in Greece with all of the turmoil they've had there, you know, takes it to North Dakota. I mean, it just travels around the world, and it's really interesting to see how we have created this animal that is now destroying us. And I'm not talking, I mean, capitalism has a lot of very wonderful qualities and brings a lot of good value in many ways. The problem is it's not controlled enough.
Especially with a fiat currency, and then when a fiat currency means money that isn't backed by anything, isn't backed by gold. It is just as really almost as loose as how our houses are valued. I know my same home that I live in right now I've had a county assessment as low as $140,000 and as high as $690,000. It moved that much in 5 years. And our currency isn't quite that radical, but it is, it's like a plane ticket or something. It's not really rooted. It fluctuates. It's not rooted to anything real. I mean, even in a plane ticket in a house, there's a house. Or in a plane ticket, there's the cost of fuel and there's the plane. And in our money, there isn't. And I think that adds to the crazy game that is going on.
It definitely does. I mean, the fact that money can be printed by the government and put out there, and ultimately it gets to one of the major problems.
It's not by the government. It's by the Federal Reserve, which is not even the government.
No.
It's a banking cartel.
Yep.
And so that's important because the government, in our Constitution, the government is supposed to print the money or create the money. And it's a bunch of banks that create this money and loan it to the government. So a lot of our national debt is interest back to the banks.
And one of the interesting things having to do that, though, is what is that money ultimately trying to drive? What all the economists look at are gross domestic product. And what is that based on? Consumerism, continuing to buy new things. When you go out and you purchase things at a used clothing store, one of our thrift stops, guess what? That is not adding anything to our gross domestic product. It's not figured in that. So even the measurements, the things that we're looking at, are inclined to actually facilitate more consumerism, which is one of the major components behind climate change, obviously.
Yeah. And I think it's even larger than climate change. It is absolute environmental destruction. We're hurting just about every layer of life.
Yeah, the first time I ever heard the word is called unfettered capitalism. It was from a journalist called Chris Hedges. And he uses these terms called sacrifice cities in a book he wrote. And the sacrifice city is essentially a city where a corporation has come in and plundered its natural resources and simply just packed up shop and left. And this, we're seeing more and more of this as the resources become more scarce. You're seeing corporations now overreaching more. And I think that's what, in my opinion, as a journalist covering this, I think that's what is leading to these uprisings, because the corporations have to overstep, and the people, they've overstepped the line for the people at this point, and the people, they resist.
Yes, they do. And actually, the first time I heard that actually was last night previewing the movie, because Naomi uses that in there talking about the sacrificial cities. And, some of the folks in there obviously feel that's what they are. They see the corporation moving in to exploit the energy resources in this case, which is just driving. That's how many wars have been fought over energy. How much destruction is occurring out there when you look at the open pit coal mines, when you take a look at the going after the tar sands and what's that's doing to the environment.
And we've got Oak Flats on the altar too. Yeah. You're listening to KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. Pat Gigan from Apollo Kauai is in here, investigative reporter. I don't think I gave you that introduction. And also holistic practitioner as well. Jeffrey Jackson is in here, and I have Malcolm Holden in answering the phones and helping with the analysis. 826-7771. We did have a caller. You certainly can call in at this time, so call back.
I just wanted to say, and Jeff, you talked a little bit about Neil Young and the whole food system and how that is. And, you take a look at many of these different issues that we've had here on Kauai, 2491, looking at the food system or the agricultural
that
production.
That was an ordinance trying to restrict, or actually trying to put buffer zones in and disclosure of which pesticides are being used. It was a very big issue here a couple years back, and the courts killed it, but the people fought hard for a year to make it pass. Three of the four counties passed ordinances to restrict the pesticides of these biotech industries. That's what Pat's talking about. Can't just use a number.
I'm sorry, no. So anyway, the whole reason for bringing that up, though, is because these things are all linked together. If you take a look at, the corporations that were fighting that bill, what were they doing? They were trying to save their economic system. Their economic system is partially based on very low-cost fossil fuels. They're out there driving tractors. If you think about it, I was totally amazed the other day. I went to one of the newer stores on Kauai, excited to have a little more variety closer to where I live in Kalaheo, and I found a beautiful organic pepper, and I was going to make some quinoa salad. I wanted it, and I got it home, and I'm washing it. And I find out it was brought to me from Sweden. There is a problem with our food system when I am using vegetables grown in Sweden when we live on this beautiful garden island.
I concur with that. There is so much capacity to be growing things, and certainly vegetables. And, and it's cheaper for our distributor to buy it from Sweden or Ecuador or Mexico than it is from our local people here.
And it's cheaper based on the fact that we're using the valuations within our economic system. If you take a look at it, ultimately,
well said.
My carbon footprint from that pepper will probably cost the earth more than that pepper cost me. It was grown over there under what conditions, I'm not exactly sure, but nonetheless, it had to travel from, the Swedish area all the way across, halfway across the world to get to me, and that's my best and cheapest alternative at this point. Something's wrong.
Something's wrong.
Yeah.
So, Pat, what are you personally, I'm going to ask each of you gentlemen this, what are you personally doing that is causing a difference both in your life, but then causing a difference larger than your life?
And what I'll say is, first of all, I apologize. I don't feel like I'm doing enough. Some may see it as a lot, but ultimately when we have the crisis in front of us that we do, so much more needs to be done. I'm a member of Apollo Kauai. I've promoted clean energy. When I started building my own house on island about 7-8 years ago, one of the first things I put up was a wind turbine. I wanted to start being green, or really solidifying it and use my own energy to build my house. It doesn't work out exactly that way, but anyway, I've got solar panels on my roof. I am a director at KIUC, and I will say, and I'm not taking credit for this by any means, but over the past 4 or 5 years, the changes that the co-op has made to become a more environmentally responsible co-op are coming to fruition, and we're starting to see the wonderful aspects of that. So I do that. I'm chair of Zero Waste Kauai. And there, of course, what we promote is more of a zero-waste lifestyle, which doesn't mean you're not going to ultimately have garbage to get rid of, but it's really taking a look at the whole process and making sure that, you know, when that plastic bottle is done being used by you, if you chose to buy something in a plastic bottle, that the best alternative for its future life is being used. I don't want to see it buried. I don't want to see it burned. Right. I want to see those resources have the ability to continue to be used.
And we'll talk about a few more things, but we have a caller on the air. Aloha. Thank you for calling.
Aloha. Good grief, Pat. I'll find you a certified organic pepper right here growing in Kauai, for heaven's sake.
Okay.
And I buy them when I can, young lady.
And speak.
What the heck are you doing?
Speak right into your phone. It's coming through a little broken up.
Okay, I'm going to take it off the speakerphone.
That's a good choice. Hi. Yes. And you're reminding me to tell everybody tomorrow night, Kauai Farmers Union meeting is happening in Kilauea at 6 o'clock. Okay, carry on.
Yeah. Come on over, Pat. I'll bring you some certified organic sweet peppers. Whatever kind you want. I got them all.
I can hardly wait, but I try to buy you out every Saturday.
Okay, well, I'll make sure there's some on Saturday whenever we send the car to market.
Which market are you at on Saturdays?
Oh, we're at three markets, Felicia.
Which ones?
Puhi.
At the college?
Kilauea Namahana.
Mm-hmm, right near the mini golf.
And Hanalei Town Center.
Okay, right there near Hali Halavai and the
soccer field. Certified organic right mm-hmm. there on the spot.
Yes, and so what thoughts do you have for us?
What thought do I have?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I'm just trying to make a sale.
Oh, okay. That works.
Okay, I love you guys.
Yes, okay, so she's got a good hustle on there that you can get real great cheese and
very
vegetables.
Very small carbon footprint.
Very
really
small. Very small. Small. Actually, you're a hero.
You
can
are.
Can I say your name? My caller is Louisa. Louisa, we love you.
Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
One of my favorite organic farmers on the island. And so, yeah, you're asking what people do. You know what? I try to get to at least one farmer's market a week. Sometimes that's not enough, and it's the lifestyle that we've chosen. So is there more I can do? There definitely is.
Okay. Another call? Or you got... No. Okay. Well, you want to say something?
What was the question that you asked?
Oh, okay. I said, what are you doing to lighten your carbon footprint? And I kind of know that you do kind of light things. You kind of live a pretty light carbon lifestyle.
I don't drive a car. I recycle. It's a lot of,
you work in
what I do is green.
Green, yeah.
Recyclable materials. You know, I don't ever go off and buy new materials. Whatever old materials I see that are of use. You know, I build houses and
landscape,
permaculture, you know, all out of recyclable materials. So, like, that's, you know, that's how I think I'm helping.
That's right. How about you, Jeffrey?
I tend to like to pass my information forward. I find it's most effective from my style on an individual basis. But as a journalist, I can reach a larger swath of people. So I think what Pat was saying about changing the consciousness, when I look at that, I see... The consciousness that humanity is headed towards, the capitalist or the corporations and the financial system are going to look different. So for me, I look at that and say, well, what is that going to look like? And you mentioned at the top of the hour, Auntie Annabelle. And my thing is, you know, my grandparents, they sewed their own clothes. They made their own clothes. They were seed savers. They were canners. And I challenge anybody listening, including myself, that what are you taking from your grandparents that still had this knowledge before life became easier? You know, life in one way is easier right now. It's also harder right now. We each have our challenges, but we weren't, you know, they were growing their own food and they were canning it and doing things like that. So on an individual basis, I like to try to learn these skills so I can pass them on, but basically relearn these skills because they've been lost.
And can I say that there is pretty easy to start relearning it? I'm so excited. Like, I just look things up on the internet, and in fact I will I'll post something right on Facebook. It says stop, don't throw that orange peel away. And so I just did it. The directions here, it talks about how to make orange vinegar, and you can make orange oil, and it's actually really easy, and when mine's done, I want to make a little video that shows me spraying the ants with it to kill them, spraying the kitchen counter to clean it, then I want to spray a salad and eat it, because it's pretty nice when your bug spray and your intensive cleaner is also really delicious and good for your own body.
Oh, wow.
And I've been, I guess it's canning. I don't know if it's canning. I've been making, like, pickled chayote and making pickled foods because I have just so much abundance. And it's pretty darn easy, you know. And we sit there and you think, oh, you know. And then I notice when I bring food, like I just this weekend I brought a couple of different things to do to different places, and those eggs were hot out of the chicken. I mean, they were really fresh, like minutes fresh, and all the spices and everything but the coconut oil. The salt was pa'akai from the island, but I didn't make it, and then the garlic. But I found I brought my food to different places, and people look at it, they don't even recognize real food. You know, I had ulu and chayote and, you know, the whole range of lapa'au, the medicinal herbs in it that help the your health. And people look at it, and they're like, oh, you know, what do I do with that? And but they're learning.
They are. And, you know, Jeffrey, just to comment on that, you know, people ask me if I want to be sustainable, what can I do? And I tell them all that I have to do is think about what my great-grandmother, who I had the ability to meet and spend time with, what did they do? Because really that generation, especially having gone through, you know, the Depression, the war, they knew how to utilize the resources that they had, and plastic was not a commodity as it was today.
So I have to put my garbage can out like this. I skipped 2 weeks, and then I had a half a can yesterday, because if you're eating out of your yard and you're not even making a mess. I have a caller on the air. Aloha, you're on the air.
Yeah, aloha, Felicia. Thanks so much for this show and the great topic. And well, I haven't used plastic or styrofoam since 75, but that's not why I called.
Congratulations.
There was a comment about, you know, life being easier, I think it was. And my quick, the impression I got was maybe it's easier, but we're being disconnected from some things. And I think there's a health factor at stake that we often overlook, and that is mental health. I think there's a lot of depression and suicide and all kinds of stuff going on because people are so disconnected from a real life, a real connected life with the things that matter, the chop wood, carry water thing, you know, canned food, sew clothes, whatever you want. I think we're so in an artificial stream that we know internally, subconsciously, something is wrong, and I think it really affects our overall individual and community health. And I'm just pulled over along the side of the road, so I can't stay long, but that was my main comment, that it's healthy in more ways than one to do those kinds of, you know, whole earth kind of things. So.
Thank you. And I think you just brought up a whole lot of points that we're really going to emphasize quite a bit in this next hour, because this first hour we've been talking about the health of the earth and raising awareness. And so we have three journalists basically in here, or maybe you're not a journalist.
No.
He's not a journalist, but he runs organizations that help to it. And actually being a part of KIUC that has a goal of something like 50% sustainable by 2025, it's some huge.
50% renewable.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you guys just to have that goal that I'm on an island with people that really, really care. And I got my degree in natural resources conservation in the mid-70s before it was a buzzword. So it's been my entire life learning how to take care of the earth, which really is the people, too. It's not, I used to think, oh, man and nature, but it's not separate at all. Man is part of nature, and we have to get back in harmony.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Aloha. And you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. And Malcolm, you're kind of different kind of, you do your stuff through song.
Through the consciousness and positivity of hip-hop, yes.
The consciousness and positivity of hip-hop. And in the songs, you can share all kinds of knowledge and
ideas.
It's
not just me, but like the other MCs I have too, we all have a message of uplifting the consciousness, because I really appreciate like what you guys are putting out there. You guys are putting out a message, but we also have to try to hook the kids in it. And, like, when I mean hook, I mean, like, the hook in the most positive way. It's just, like, we got to attract kids to it so they could be like, oh, you know, this is happening, because nowadays we're being brainwashed to think that eating bad is good and being a bad person is good and having no morals is good. And, like, I'm trying to, me and a group of fellow superheroes are trying to just, you know, really raise above that and really just have the kids see that there's more than life than just drugs and alcohol and sex. Like, if I could say that.
Yeah. And then kids of any age, like old age or everything, you know, we're all hooked with music. You know, music is like bypasses the brain and helps to go to the heart. And so it's a really beautiful thing and a really good way of getting a message across. And you are listening to Kauai Soapbox, and this is Felicia. I have Pat Gigan from Apollo Kauai in the studio, Jeffrey Jackson, investigative journalist, and hip-hop man Malcolm. So this is Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the Copper Man.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Anahola, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com. Or 639-3456. The Copper Man.
There's a meeting of the Kekahu Foundation Outreach and Development Committee on Wednesday, November 11th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Cafe Coco. These meetings are open to the public. For more information, contact KKCR at 826-7774 or email kkcr@kkcr.org.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Pat, you had another thought.
Just a couple of things. First of all, just to kind of reiterate what Malcolm was saying and what we heard our healthy journalist over here talking about, the education and getting the information out. I'll tell you, Malcolm, working with the kids is probably one of the most important things that you can do. I mean, because, you know, like that person who just called in that he talked about, you know, not using plastic or styrofoam since like the 1970s. Well, I was born in the 60s. I grew up using plastic, using styrofoam, you know, using many of those things, except I can't remember when the first water bottle I ever saw was. Plastic water bottle. How did we ever survive without them? But anyway, so the kids have to learn not to run into those bad habits.
Oh yeah.
Because, you know, I was raised in a society that it was okay to buy something and throw it away when you were done with it. A wasteful society. Yeah. So it's so important that we do as much education as we can with our kids, and that's really what Apollo Kauai is about, is trying to make sure we're educating as many people as we can. We do have subgroups that are looking at educating, but it's got to be a combination of obviously music has to be in there as well as
definitely.
Didactic. The last thing I'd like to say, and I thank you very much, Felicia, for inviting us up here and Apollo Kauai. And just the last little plug for it, it's called This Changes Everything, a movie by Naomi Klein. It'll be showing Saturday, November 14th at 6 p.m. and Sunday, November 22nd at 6 p.m. This will be at the Kauai Community College Cafeteria, and that's brought to you by Apollo Kauai along with Kauai Community College. And yes, as you said, Felicia, anybody can come.
Even if you have no money at all.
That's absolutely correct.
I want you to give me that you're holding.
I'd love to. And thank you very much. And anytime you want to talk about zero waste, we'd love to come in and talk about that, too.
Okay. Zero waste is great. And, Pat, you're on your way.
Thank you.
Aloha. Okay. And I have got two new guests in here. And we're going to start shifting and speaking to health. And so I have... is Hadley, right?
Hayden.
Hayden. Okay, I knew I had that wrong right there. Hayden. Hayden, let me try you again on your mic. Try it.
Hayden Sears.
And then I also have Terry...
Cronin.
I didn't know if you went by Terry Lynn or just Terry. So as we're going to start talking about health, what we have just been speaking about is the health of the planet. And this is Malcolm.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Girls.
And Malcolm is answering phones at 826-7771. And so we have been speaking about a film that's coming out called This Changes Everything. It's going to be playing this Saturday and the following Sunday, more than a week later, on the 22nd. And it's talking about the movement that's underway. And what's happened here in Hawaii, we have had a powerful movement, the food movement, towards health. And I'm going to give Jeffrey the responsibility real quick here for a moment to speak to how a degraded environment hurts the health.
Okay. No problem.
Well,
and go.
It's a serious situation we're facing, and my heart goes out really to the medical practitioners and the healers that are working to help the people right now, because they're facing something that no other generation has faced, and this is an essentially a toxic environment. We have the GMO food, we have the pesticides, we have the herbicides, we have heavy metals. The list goes on. The soil is being depleted, and you know, these aren't happy things. But there are answers, and the solutions are coming from a lot of people that are within the medical system, but are looking at a wider view. So there, you know, I was actually going to be I was going into med school, and I was sitting hearing this lecture from a doctor right before I went into med school. I actually didn't go. That was a last-minute decision. And the doctor was addressing many other health professionals, and he asked the crowd, how many people are health professionals? And they all raised their hand, and he looked at them, and this was an older doctor, and he said, you all have failed your mission because people are sicker now, and that's your fault. And he said, you should take responsibility for this because you are a healer. And I sat there, and everyone in the crowd was speechless. And I sat there and thought, wow. So, I don't know. That's a big topic. That's what came to mind when you asked me that
question.
Right.
And just for the listener, you live here in Princeville, but I was really pleased and honestly surprised when I saw you in the global quest for cure for cancer by Ty Bollinger. How do you say his name?
Ty Bollinger.
So you were in there. We have a caller on the air, so we're going to take this call first, and then we'll be including everybody in this discussion, because I just came from Hayden's father's presentation on, health and brain health and, you know, not getting cancer. Aloha, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm here. I just wanted to let people know another alternative on this Saturday night, if they wanted to go to the movie. The next week, there's a concert at the Church of the Pacific, Saturday night, by the Sacred Earth Choir. All music that came through Daniel Nelson, wonderful man, from Larson's Beach, and it's a benefit for coral reef restoration. The Sacred Earth Choir is definitely bringing together music that's about healing the earth and healing our relationship with the earth.
And so this is at the Church of the Pacific
in
Princeville?
At 7 o'clock. Yep,
this Saturday.
On Saturday night.
Okay, and thank you for working hard to help with the reef. And I know the Sacred Earth Choir has been actually a part of a lot of the movements for healthy land. And so many people within that choir work hard in a most loving way to be helping anything from legislation to awareness to direct action of better behavior.
That's right.
So 7, did I get that right? 7 p.m.?
7 o'clock at the Church of the Pacific.
This Saturday. Okay, thank you so much. Thank you for caring about everything.
Thanks for the great show.
Okay. Aloha.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, I just came from a presentation from your dad, Dr. Bill Sears, and he was a guest on our show a few weeks back, and I think he was last week on the health show. I need you to move that microphone next to your face. Sometimes people sound like they're down the hall, so we'll get that over there. So, Hayden, Do you want to share any basic thoughts on, like, your father had cancer, right? And that was a bit, well, who's your father? And then a little bit about his cancer.
Well, I am very blessed to be the daughter of Dr. William Sears. And actually, what Jeffrey brought up is very much true. So I come from a family of doctors. I have a huge respect for them. My dad's a doctor. My three older brothers are doctors. My mom's a nurse. But they found the same thing. They had to educate themselves on health and nutrition and how to help their patients stay healthy, not just treat them once they got sick, but they had to teach themselves how to do that. And that is a huge new concept now that we are having to deal with, is people are really having to take control of their own health.
And what is the case in most med schools, nutrition isn't even a part of the courses. Mm-hmm. It's really how to deal with medicines and equipment. It's not really looking at what you put in your body, which you would right. think would be step one.
Right. So when my dad experienced cancer when he was in his 50s, it devastated him. And colon cancer, his dad died of colon cancer, and my mom's mom died of colon cancer. So it would appear that genetically his eight children were doomed. And so during his couple years of recovery, he really got a new passion in life. And it wasn't just to heal people when they were sick. It was to help people stay healthy and thrive. And really that started with his eight children. He really wanted to, he had to. It was like this burning, fiery passion. He had to figure out how we would never have to experience what he was going through. And really, he was able to pore over research journals and articles and books and just glean from amazing minds all over the world that's their specialty is prevention and health and nutrition and research. And so he was able to really compile all this that he was learning. And this would be the basis for his next set of about 15 books that are all about health and nutrition and prevention.
And his book that kind of got him famous in the first place was called The Baby Book. He was a pediatrician, or is a pediatrician. Mm-hmm. So he's worked with young kids and then has moved more into adult and what he's calling primetime health. And so today he just had a presentation at the Princeville Library, and I know he's having one on Friday at 10 a.m. at KCC, Kauai Community College. Do you remember which room?
It's in the OSET building.
Office of Continuing Education and Training. So that's right as you're coming into campus on the right. And then you're having one at Kaloa at Kauai
Community Fellowship. Yeah, and that's on Thursday night at 7 p.m.
So people can go and see him, and he seemed to be speaking at a level that would be, you know, anybody 10 and up would be able to understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. He really does welcome some of the older kids that, you know, kind of want to engage with him because he likes speaking to children, even though a lot of us adults can really relate to being spoken to like that. But the amazing thing is then, you know, you ask him a specific question and the science comes right in there, and that, you know, the answer at a higher level. So he really welcomes that. We always include a question and answer session at the end for people who have more specific questions so that he could get that. And the events are all free, and you can register for them.
You can't say that.
Oh, sorry.
The events, anybody can come even if they don't have any money.
That's true.
We can't name a price.
That's
wonderful.
True. And, yeah, you can find those on Eventbrite.
Yes, you can find it on Eventbrite. I will say that, you know, spoiler alert, I mean, the biggest thing is what you eat and what you put in your body. And so we talked a little bit about food combining and the six S's, what, you know, snacks, seafood. I can't remember what you put an S for fruits and vegetables.
The success diet.
Yeah. The success diet.
Spices. Smart snacks, seafood, smoothies, salads, and supplements, the right kind of supplements.
Okay, so the S1 for fruits and vegetables was smoothies. But when I went home between that and coming here, I did something that I hadn't done before. And when I made myself a blended juice, I threw some yogurt in because he said, make sure and put the fats in there mm-hmm. so you can absorb the nutrients. So I didn't know that. And maybe I should have, but I didn't. So I put that in there, and I normally eat right out of my yard and eat food right here. And so most of what he had to say, I think, is incredibly easy for us to apply here. And we did talk about how at the grocery stores, people, you know, the food, Pat had given the example, his pepper came from Sweden. But for more and more of us, it comes from right here. It's sort of the new trendy thing, you know, like I'll show up at certain groups' parties and I would be ashamed to bring something that I bought. Mm. You know, that it's, you bring Kauai-based foods and that becomes really the thing you walk in the door with. You don't walk in the door with something that was bought somewhere else. But we have different groups that, you know, eat differently, but for more and more people, they are growing their own food. And it's kind of the big thing. So, Jeffrey, you are somewhat of a nutritionist, right? When you work with clients, like you, I know that you're an investigative reporter, but you also actually help people, right?
Yeah, well, officially I don't have a nutritionist degree, so I can't actually give someone a diet. But I can. What I do is I try to integrate the things that a lot of people don't talk about. A lot of doctors, a lot of health professionals aren't telling their patients, you know, you may want to stay away from GMO food until the science is really in. I have a different view on that. I think you should stay away from it altogether. But, you know, to stay on both sides of the fence here, you may want to stay away from watch out for the pesticides. There was a report that came out, and they had the 25 dirtiest foods as far as pesticides. And number one was strawberries. So if you're not eating, you should always be, if you're going to eat strawberries, always be organic strawberries, things like that. Little things. You know, one of the, I'm a transplant from Metro Detroit. And before I left, I told my parents, I said, look, really pay attention to what you eat, because it's not like it was when you were growing up. You could get away with a lot more back then. Now the learning curve, the health learning curve is very short for your body. And if you make some wrong choices, that time frame is short. It's short because we're dealing with a different environment, different chemicals, and that's not even to say the EMF, the electromagnetic frequencies in the air. There's a lot of things hitting the body right now, so we have to be extra careful.
Yeah, and one thing that Bill Sears, her father, said in his presentation, a question was asked about electromagnetic field, the EMF radiation that comes from cell phones and cell towers and smart meters and a zillion other things that we're all somewhat addicted to, wireless network. And, you know, he acknowledged that actually is very problematic. And he had said that they shouldn't be on schools. But I have done a whole series of shows on that. And on this program, Kauai Soapbox, we tend to talk about a number of different things. Usually somebody's bringing it forward. Like in this case, Terry brought forward Dr. Sears and, you know, what he has to share. But I have had people be concerned about the cell towers. And then I had the misfortune of one being proposed across the street from me. So I was like, well, you know, I like to have to worry about something. But I paid quite a lot of attention to it, and I started to research it, and they're intense. And in 1995, there was a Telecommunications Act. That's before most of this stuff came out. Mm. And this is what happens over and over again, is that before we're even aware of what's going on, they make the rules to disempower the people. And so the Telecommunications Act said states and municipal office areas cannot regulate a tower based on health. And what does happen, I'm kind of speaking to one of the people who was in that meeting with us today, if when you are trying to fight a tower, because there's a tower going up here in Princeville on one of the condo sets, and you know, he was concerned about it, or at least he just started to speak to it, if in front of the planning commission, if people say, I don't want to live underneath that because it will hurt my health, then that tower is guaranteed to be able to go in there. Mm. You cannot actually bring it up that it's going to hurt your health, or it can't be taken in. The federal rules, they decide what is a dangerous amount, and basically nothing that they come up with is dangerous.
Wow.
Yeah, it is really a very, very unfortunate situation. It's not unique to just those towers, but they're smart now. That's like when we have, you know, the Clean Water Act and the Clean Skies Act and all those sorts of things, they basically take the power away from the people. And we've just had this Trans-Pacific Partnership agreement, you know, basically just about pass. And it's terrible. It's terrible. And they, you know, it's, this is one that, that disempowers even nations. This is an international tribunal that gets to make a decision even over national laws. Mm-hmm. So it is a, it's a very powerful piece. But what, and Terry, I'll let you speak a little bit. Like, what I heard basically is the number one element that we can do to keep our immune systems up is in the right food, but you can talk about the arteries if you want for a minute here. We'll see how well she did her homework.
Right. Well, I'm lucky enough to be able to partner with the with Dr. Sears and with the Sears family. So he has a little DVD that that we have and about primetime health. So, you know, even though I don't get to travel with him all the time, I get to, you know, present that DVD in different situations. We call it Smoothie in a Movie, and we'll integrate some of what he teaches to help people get healthier and do that. And then watch this, you know, 30-minute DVD where he lays out these 9 steps towards primetime health. So it's really amazing. So I've got that down.
So I want to talk about the silver lining.
Yeah.
I mean, we're just going to, like, you know, do the spoiler alert and talk about it. I mean, but it won't keep people. It actually brings people to come and listen to a talk.
It does.
So I felt like the silver lining of the whole story was his main piece. And the silver lining is?
It's pretty important. That is your endothelium. That is the inner lining of your arteries, of your blood vessels. And the concept that he talks about is, you know, the different tips that he tells you that we need to do is to keep the medicine bottles that are in our arteries, that our body actually makes its own medicine.
Through the glands in the endothelial layer.
Yeah.
You said that right.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, the key concept is to keep sticky stuff. If we keep it out of our mouth, then it won't get stuck in our arteries and keep our medicine bottles closed. It'll allow our body to do what it was created to do, which is to make its own medicine. So he shows us how to do that and goes through those steps. And they are really, it's great that you guys are able to plant so much of your own food and grow your own food, and you're eating whole food based diet, you know, you vegetables from the ground and fruit from the trees and fish from the sea. And, you know, if you have animals on your space,
I do.
You have that mm-hmm. here. It's so wonderful. And not everybody's able to do that, but everybody that can really should, you know, it's a great way to live. And, keeping that so many people are on medicines that have just horrific side effects. If you read them and you're experiencing them, oftentimes they're worse. You're like, wait, what am I taking this for anyways? This is worse than
I know. You see a commercial on the TV and it's really about toenail fungus,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then when they go, and side effects might include, you know,
death.
You're like, gosh, I can live with the disfigured toenails. I don't have them, by the way.
But,
right. You know. So it's pretty funny how they put that there.
Definitely.
Oh,
definitely.
Yeah.
Making your own medicines is the side effect free. You just get the side effect is that you feel healthier and your body's regulating itself. So.
Yeah. So he was able to talk about what Dr. Mom says. And Dr. Mom says, eat your vegetables and go outside and play.
Yeah. Your fruits, your vegetables, your seafood, and get moving. And that is such a key. He really goes into the science behind that as far as physical activity, even not just how it, you know, keeps your blood flow going and opens up your, you know, body's medicine bottles, but how it improves our mood function, how it's best, you know, one of the best antidepressants possible. Talk about your
really?
Side effects, right?
Oh, wow.
Right.
Yeah, he talked about the D's. The D's were depression with a capital D, which must be different than depression with a small D. Is that correct? Like maybe one's clinical depression, and talked about ADHD. I liked how he had some stuff about nutrition deficit disorder and movement deficit disorder. I have had a school called Akamai Learning, and it is, you know, adventure learning, basically alternative middle school. And I have a lot of the kids that are ADHD or ADD, and I call that nature deficit disorder.
Mm.
And usually those ADHD, Kolohe kids are really excellent in the mountain and excellent out in the ocean, and they're more hunters than farmers.
Yeah.
And I think we're designed to be that way. Mm-hmm. And Jeffrey, when you are working with people, where do you see most issues that come up? Like, we had a caller before. I'm kind of bringing it down this direction, I guess, with suicide. I don't want to be too specific because there's some really, really painful suicides that have happened in the past month of young people. We have had a crisis of that, but, you know, not just that age. And I did notice there's some articles that, like, the demographic with the biggest increase in early deaths has been white men, you know, middle-aged white men, and it's, you know, suicide, drugs, and alcohol, things that are, you know, an influence of depression. I saw that there was some meme on Facebook that correlates that to GMOs, but you know, a lot of times something will correlate and that doesn't mean it's connected. You know, I think it could be that there's a big increase in how many people are having a hard time, because that in the past has been a group that has had more financial success, you know, earlier in the past, like 50 years or something. And many, many people, the poverty isn't delineated to just one demographic, you know, so that's a challenge. But do you have any things that you do that works with depression?
Movement, actually. Movement and nutrition. Basically, if you start doing higher heart rate, now I don't want everybody to go out there and start sprinting down a hill, but if you work with higher heart rate, it releases, like Terry was saying, it releases chemicals in your brain that are, it's nature's medicine cabinet. If they could patent what came out in your brain, what your brain produced when you exercise, it would be the world's most popular drug. Right. So it, for me, it starts with movement. It starts with the correct type of movement, and then that integrates with mental awareness of your body, having a respect for your body. A lot of us kind of just get up there, and if you watch a kid try to walk, it's just, I want to stand up as fast as possible. And a lot of our movements are not really 100% correct. But one of the things also I wanted to say is, this island, we're standing on possibly two of the strongest curing natural items in turmeric and ginger. They're both under our feet, and turmeric and ginger, if we want to talk about neuroprotective, that's turmeric, and ginger is inflammation, diabetes. Mm-hmm. This is all free, and not only is it free, it's fresh. You don't have to get it shipped anywhere. And, you know, I'm not going to speak for science here, but I do know that the benefits of both of those run at least parallel with some of the medications that are out there.
Well, that's great. That's great. Your father had mentioned about meditation. Like, when I was listening, I was thinking, okay, I've been, like, too busy to get quite enough exercise as I should, and get too busy on the computer. But then meditation, too, he was saying that thickens the brain. I mean, thickens it in a good way. She's nodding. People can't see.
I didn't know if you were asking me that question. Yes. Definitely. And there's actually a lot more science out now about it, too. It's something that people have been doing since the beginning of time. But now we're able to put science research behind meditation, and it's becoming more and more popular to everyone's benefit. Definitely.
That's great. We have a caller. Aloha, you're on the air.
Aloha, this is Malibu Dave calling in.
Hi, Malibu Dave.
How are you guys all doing? I was listening to all your expressions on exercise and breathing and how it's very euphoric and pristine for the body to experience. Being 70 years old, gang, listen to this real closely now. 70. My resting heart rate is 48.
Oh,
okay? I have the ability to run in the soft sand every day for 2 hours. Oh. And I come to realize that we were all designed as hunter-gatherers. Again, hunter-gatherers, meaning the blueprint has never changed. God and his buddies put it together. And where did our brains go? 21st century. And what did it come back with? Intellectual intelligence. 90-odd words. But remember, from the neck down, doesn't care. It would still like its fair share of the original blueprint. Now, running in soft sand takes effort. Sex takes effort. And giving birth takes effort. Now, if you want to solve the problem, All we need to do is build a nice, safe place, and we'll teach little kids, 4 and 5 year olds, to experience what it feels like to run in sand. Because as you know, everything has a vibration and a frequency to it. If you establish them at a young age before they get all judgmental and thinking they're cool, they'll establish a basic foundation to where they need to go. So I'd like to have some comments on that, and I appreciate you all speaking with me. And if you don't run into soft sand, the only thing you all can look forward to in this world when you get older is the word "I used to" and a garage sale. Have a great day, and thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Dave. And you're listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea.
I really loved what he said, actually. I mean, he was focusing on exercise, and that's moving the body. That is, I mean, that's something that we want to do naturally as little children. And I was my first career was as a dancer, and so that movement is so just part of my soul. But also in the concept of eating, that's one of the things my dad and I and the rest of our wellness team teach is let's shape young tastes. Let's teach children what real food tastes like. They don't come out of the womb knowing what fast food and donuts taste like. Right. Let's only give them real food for the first few years of their life. And teach them what things like turmeric and ginger taste like and how those things can not only keep our bodies feeling amazing, but they can taste amazing. Let's let those be the tastes that shape what they want for the rest of their life. Yeah. And really that sticks into their brain, just like movement. That sticks into their brain forever. So even though they'll go out in the world, they'll experience the junk food over time, the basis of what they crave can still be real whole food.
Right. Yes. And I was thinking even when we had the discussion there about how you can meditate as you swim, right? Another place that's sort of a natural meditation in a physical form like that is paddling canoe. Mm-hmm. Because you're so focused on having your blade just right, hitting at the same beat of the person in front of you, and it's meditative. There's a lot of things that, like, will bring your mind to a very calm and centered space. Mm-hmm. And more and more people are learning about that. Have you ever done any meditation, Malcolm? Oh, do I have a call?
No.
Oh, okay. Okay. Is it on?
Yeah. Digging holes. Digging holes and putting mortar in rocks is very meditative. I can't sit down and meditate because I have too much energy, but
right.
It's like being able to like be outside and just make sure this hole is fine, or just like in painting as well as painting and just being sure that you got everything just right and just focused on
like painting a house painting, as opposed to painting a picture.
Painting anything. Painting anything. That's meditative because that's what I believe in. You just a focus. You know, you really focus in. Everything around you is blurred out and you're just focusing, you know, just getting like it done correctly and right, and that's what I believe in.
As a mother of guys, I think it's easier for guys to think about one thing. Mm. Girls have a brain like spaghetti, you know, everything's interconnected, at least mine is. You know, it's hard to think about one thing. I want to think about a whole host of things. Right now I'm thinking about John Gordon coming in for Jazz with John. He just walked in the door.
Jazz with John.
That comes up at the top of the hour at 6 o'clock. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking, too, about brain health, I want to just give out love and prayers for Indy. I don't know if he's listening as a person in our community that has had a number of brain injuries, lives in a lot of pain, and I think one way he just spits in the face of fate is tending to ride with his eyes closed and his hands off the handlebars. It's a difficult way to do it, and he hit something again, and so he's been in intensive care in the hospital. Mm-hmm. But he is getting stronger and he is coming back. I think this is like his third or fourth serious head injury. I have had 4 serious head injuries, and you can recover. Mm-hmm. But I don't recommend it.
Right.
It's a difficult road to hoe. So,
I'd like to add something to the caller. I was lucky enough to be introduced to a man named Wim Hof. I believe it's pronounced Wim Hof. W-I-M-H-O-F, if anybody's by a computer and wants to look that up. And for people listening out there that are thinking, oh my gosh, what can I do? I'm not a doctor. I don't have the money. I don't have this. This is a guy that is able to influence his immune system with his breathing and concentration. And it's actually verified and it's studied. Harvard is now studying and it's been studied in his home country of the Netherlands. And what he's able to do is also influence his hormonal system. So what's happening is during these studies, they actually don't study him. They study people he teaches. So this is an amazing thing because simply through meditative breathing, and this isn't, I want to say, quote unquote, a normal person. He's not a Buddhist. He's not someone that's done this his whole life. I'll leave it if you want to watch the video, but this is what's possible, and this is what's coming out now. So if you're out there and you're hopeless or you don't know where to start, just the information's out there, and it's getting better and easier. And, you know, with Dr. Sears and their wellness team, these are who are making the changes. It's people coming, bringing it down to the community level. A lot of the doctors in the past were like catcher's mitts. They would just wait for you to get sick. You'd come into the office, and then they wouldn't want anything to do with you afterwards. So it's the healers and the doctors that are actually reaching out into the community and doing more that are changing the world.
So I just put a link to his online courses on both my Felicia Longi Cowden Facebook page and Kauai Community Radio Facebook page. Mm. So, I have to learn more about that. I'm a little bit like on Malcolm's page. I don't have the self-discipline to just sit there and take care of myself. How's that? No, I like to trick myself into exercise. I like to, you know, be out, be active, be doing something. Even, you know what, gardening and working in the food forest is more work than you think. Like, I'll be working on my yarding or out there in the plants, and I'll get stiff muscles from doing it. We had a great pruning workshop this weekend, too. Lots of different things like that go on. Right now, there is a propagation workshop happening. There's we have such a movement for healthy agriculture. Mm-hmm. It's really a very powerful movement. And how about where do you both live in California? Is that right? So she's nodding her head. You're on the radio. So how's it over there? Is anybody noticing that they need to eat right?
Yes, more and more. I mean, you can't pick up a magazine without seeing something about healthy eating. So I feel like it's something people want to do. They understand the need for it. Just sometimes they don't know how, where to start. They're overwhelmed by all the choices.
Right.
And we've seen, and this is one reason my dad decided to build a wellness team, is he found that people needed a partner.
Right.
They didn't want to just go out and do it themselves. They needed somebody to link arms with them and say, hey, I'm just like you. I struggle just like you, but let's move in the same direction together, because it's a hard road to go alone. So really, that's what we do. We like to partner with people who want to do this with us. And not only that, we want to help them reach the people they know and love and say, hey, partner with me. Let's do this together.
So in partnering, that might be in eating the right foods, maybe doing something that's an achievable gardening. I saw that y'all do like a little bit of a tower garden type of structure. Like if people are in urban living or on Oahu, many people live in a tall building, but there are ways to do little vertical gardens out on the patio.
Right.
And then sometimes people eat supplements rather than if they can't eat quite enough fruits and vegetables.
My dad really tries to help people understand that in order to be healthy, you really need to eat at least 10 fistfuls of fruits and vegetables a day. And if you can't or won't do that, find a really high-quality fruit and vegetable supplement that it's going to get into your body, that has research behind it. On AskDrSears.com, he has some recommendations that he makes. And yeah, so partner with people that are going to do that. And really what we like to do is help people do exactly that. Eat enough produce. If you're not going to or you can't, take a great supplement. And then we like, from there on, we like to encourage people to make one simple change at a time.
Right.
We really found that that's how people can make slow but steady steps to better health. Some people maybe are all in at once. Maybe they had a tragedy or cancer, something like my dad, and they are motivated to make all those changes at once, like a complete 180. But we find that most people thrive the best when we can help support them make one simple change at a time. But like Jeffrey was saying, sometimes those one simple changes, those are make dramatic nutrition and health and lifelong differences for them and their whole family.
Yeah, I really wanted to speak to that as well. You know, when Jeffrey's talking about movement just being so imperative, I know that there's probably some people like me, I never really wanted to, I was like, exercising, that's really hard and it hurts my joints, you know, and this is kind of before I started making getting more whole food in my diet a priority. And I realized afterwards that, excuse me, that the, you know, increasing our levels of antioxidants in our blood reduces the inflammation and it makes exercise feel good instead of hurt. So one simple change can be a catalyst to another one. And some of us need to clean up the junk out of our diet before we can add that exercise because it just hurts and you can get hurt. You need the antioxidants to combat the oxidative stress that comes as a result of exercise. And I think that, especially like with what Hayden was saying and Dr. Sears, a lot of us just don't realize how much, how many different types of fruits and vegetables that we need to eat every day, and that they need to be high quality. Like if you grow it yourself, you're controlling your pesticides.
No pesticides.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. You're doing integrated pest management. You know, you're controlling.
Effortless.
Yeah.
Effortless if you put the right things in your soil,
right?
Which is the worms, the mycelium, and the microbes. And I always, people hearing this show, they hear me bring up my micro herd a lot. But it really is that easy if you work with nature and not against it. And it happens.
Right.
And what, I, you know, it might be the same in California. Certainly California is, if it's not the breadbasket, it's the salad bar of the United States. So you certainly, everybody knows that you have verdant plains there for growing things. But here we sure have a lot of abundance. And, you know, I overeat on my fruits and vegetables. I have, you know, like 10 avocados a day, and I kind of eating them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But you know what I really enjoyed when I was hearing him say, oh, you should eat avocados, you should eat avocados. After I'd gotten hit by a truck is what had given me the head injury, two of the worst head injuries when I was 12. And after that, I craved avocados and almonds and nuts. And back then they would say, avocados give you cholesterol and make, you know, and these are doctors.
Right.
And I would just be eating them and eating them and eating them. And it was like, oh, you shouldn't be. I also used to crave bell peppers. I don't know if bell peppers are good for brain injury or not, but I would eat them really regularly. And my general gut feeling, no pun intended, is if your body is craving something that you know isn't horrible for you, you know, maybe crystal meth shouldn't be something that you should be going for, but, you know, that sometimes your body knows better than the doctors.
Right.
And I remember that, you know, like I was supposed to be almost on avocado restriction, and because it was so weird to them that I was eating it so often. And then so I thought it was interesting today when he was saying that that was a very vital food for brain regeneration.
Yes, so much so that he suggests that as the infant's first food at 6 months. Avocado.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he put that in there, avocado.
Yep.
So that was good.
Also, too, there's you mentioned Bioneers. You went to the Bioneers conference. There's a gentleman, his name's Paul Stamets, and
yes.
He's a mycologist.
Mushroom guy.
Mushroom guy, yes. And he's finding a lot of the research and pairing with the universities to get these mushrooms he's finding tested. And there's a mushroom called lion's mane, and they're finding absolutely amazing neuroprotective and neuroregenerative properties from this mushroom. And this is a mushroom that you can grow yourself. I've never tried it. I'm speaking from simply the research, but it's about a two-week turnaround to grow this mushroom. And it's a simple, very simple solution for this. And it's very backed by research at this point.
And so can you get them from Paul Stamets?
Yes, you can. You can get the they call it the spores. You can get. I don't work for the company, but you can get the spores online, apparently, and it's a very simple
from a company like him. I can't remember what the name of his is, but he's got a website. Mm-hmm. Okay, because I want to try that. My reaction when I watch something like The Truth About Cancer or a talk like your dad just gave, I want to do everything. I'm an instant gratification kind of girl. I'm not the patient, try it one step at a time. I like, okay. You know, I think that in reality, all of us are probably fighting something like cancer on a regular basis. And so rather than once it's a problem and it reveals itself, might as well deal with it before it's revealed, you know, when it's in stage 0.5, not stage 4. Right. So that's a very good one. You're listening to KKCR, Hanalei KAQA Kilauea. We have a number of people in here right now. We're talking to Jeffrey Jackson, investigative reporter, mostly on health but other things, Hayden Sears, and Terry... Tell me your last name again.
Cronin.
I'm mm-hmm. sorry. And then I got Malcolm Holden in here. We had a caller. Did they have something they wanted to share?
It was the Sand Dude.
Pardon me?
It was the Sandman.
The Sandman?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
The Sand Runner.
The Sand Runner.
Oh, yeah.
I remember watching him run in the sand for years. He was always the Sand Runner. And sand running works pretty well, but sometimes it can hurt your hip. Because you're running on an incline, so you have to, you know, a sideways incline. So you have to be careful about which beach that you run on. One of my friends who is also a sand runner, she had to have her hip replaced from running on an incline for so many years. Hi, Dave. Hello?
This isn't Dave.
Oh, okay. Hi, how are you?
I was wondering about... Scott Sims Pegasus Foundation.
Yeah.
I know it was his dream when he passed away.
Mm-hmm.
The website is pretty unclear. I mean, they don't have really any updates about really what's going on. I don't know whether you can connect with anybody who knows if there's any progress or if the ball's going to get dropped or if it's not even going to happen. I'm so curious about the progress of the Pegasus Foundation, and like I say, the website, it just has a donate button. It doesn't give any updates. Maybe you could do some footwork, or if there are any of your listeners know of what's going on with it, I sure would like to know.
Okay, so you're speaking about the Aloha Vet, Scott Sims, your vet, my vet. We totally love
beloved,
him.
The beloved, wonderful Scott Sims. You know.
So I'm just telling the listener for a moment here.
Okay.
He did incredible things. He was out there in the ocean, worked on all kinds of wild animals, everybody's animals, and you're kind of like the assistant in the surgery. So
it was so personal and wonderful. Everybody misses him and the environment. And one of the reasons why it's on my mind is because I had to go to a different vet for the first time in a long time, and it worked out, but it was awkward. It was much more expensive. And it just made me think, because I tried to go online. I did go online to see when the Pegasus Foundation, whether they were going to be up and going anytime soon. And I couldn't find out any information. I would love to know if it's still in the works, if it's still there's a possibility if it's going to happen or not.
Okay. Well, I will try and find that out for
you. Would you do that?
Yes, and then my guess is, I'm going to make a speculation here, but it is Scott's shoes or Scott's slippers or his lack of shoes, really, he was generally barefoot, is very, very hard to fill. And so he had that dream of perpetuating it and having it as pay-as-you-go, but most people don't have the capacity to do anything from...
I understand that.
You know, the smallest little bird to the biggest aquatic animal, or I don't know if he's really worked on a whale.
Well, you wouldn't have to be. Nobody can be Scott Sims. It would be
hopping on a plane.
Even if it's a downsized, you know, I can't work on every animal, but I can work on dogs or cats. Or I know one of the problems is they needed a large animal vet.
And I believe there's one on the island now.
Well, that's good. I just hope it comes into fruition.
Fruition? Sure. I will try and find out.
I really hope it does, you know, for not just for the needy people, but for all the people, you know, because some people are bound to take advantage of pay-as-you-go, you know, but most people won't, you know, and hopefully it will happen. And I'd just love to know whether it's the possibility is still there.
I'll try.
Thank you, Collision.
Thank you. So, before we go off the air, I am going to play a song by Xavier Rudd called Hanalei, and it has some stuff to do about the coral reef here. And then we will hear the county council report. So before that, I'm going to kind of go around the room and get some of your final thoughts on any of this, whether it's how the health of the earth is, how the health of the people and the animals and plants are, or any other piece of your mana'o or your ideas that you would like to share. Holden?
My idea is the relationships between parents and their children, you know, that needs to be a little bit more connective, and like the parents need to be more aware of what everything their child is doing. Not everything, but like, you know, what they're listening to, what they're eating, and who their friends are, kind of, you know, because there's a lot of bad negative energy towards that.
Okay, we're going to take this call, and then I'm going to put you back on the spot, and I want to ask you a question.
Hello?
Aloha, you're on the air. We're going to take this quick. You're on the air. Hello?
It's incredible.
Are you there?
Incredible show.
Thank you.
Yeah, you betcha. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, man.
Sharing the aloha.
Yeah, sharing that aloha.
Sharing,
okay.
Sharing the love.
So, Malcolm.
Yes.
Say you were 21.
Which I am.
Yeah. and how would you make sure that your relationship with your parent was strong, even if, say, you're across the ocean from her?
Call him. Like, I call my mom, like, every week. Call my mom and my stepdad. I call my whole family, like, once a week just to let them know that I'm around and let them know what I'm doing, you know. Just trying to be communicative.
And if they call you every week, you wouldn't feel imposed upon?
No. Oh, they can't call me because I live in a valley where they get no cell service, so that's a plus. But, you know, I just like just keep in contact with them.
Perfect. Thank you. Thank you so much.
No problem.
Terry, what is your final thoughts?
Well, since you brought that into the mix, I really loved hearing that. A lot of people, some people don't know that Dr. Sears is a nutrition expert because what he's really known for is attachment parenting. I don't know if you know that. And he is just our dear, my dear friend Hayden in here helped Dr. and Martha Sears become attached parents because she was what he coins the high need child, right? Some people would say a fussy baby. No, she was a high need child. She had a high level of need. And yes, so there's so much great information about that. He really empowers moms and dads to do what they really want to do in their heart, which is love their babies.
Exactly.
And raise them up with a lot of nurturing and connectivity versus, you know, cry it out. You're supposed to be convenient and you're not, you know, we're just leaving you with the babysitter. Here's your bottle of formula. Just not that, you know, exactly the opposite. So I love that. And, you know, one of the things that he says is the best gift that we give to our children is the gift of health. And connecting together with that so that they have a healthy future. And so much of that is diet, but so much of it is a healthy relationship with their parents and teaching them to love others.
This is so interesting, the turn this took. This is Hayden Sears. You know, it's interesting. My parents saw that I had a high desire to connect. And, you know, people see that as a need, but I just knew that as an infant that I thrived better when I connected. And I'm so blessed that my parents saw that in me and were willing to mirror that and connect with me. And, you know, we see that later now as an adult. I have such an amazingly strong connection to my parents, so much so that we love vacationing together. We love working together. You know, I saw this passion in my dad, and I was already so connected with him that we so beautifully go on this journey together. And I feel because of that connection we have, we have such a passion that really radiates out, and it draws people in like Terry.
And I saw your 5-year-old son clearly is proud of your father.
Yes. Right.
And supports him.
And it all starts with that connection. And so as you're trying to make these changes, and like my dad passing on this legacy to future generations, it really did start with a connection.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
that
all starts
is so,
with the connection.
Yeah, it's so beautiful and vital.
And Jeffrey?
I'm going to switch gears for a second. Someone really close to me was taking their friend to a chemo appointment today. And I want to say that anybody out there that, you know, we're all being touched by cancer at this point, it seems like cancer is not a death sentence. If anything, look at it as an opportunity to change something, a final opportunity perhaps to change something in your life that you weren't, you could do better.
It's a
and,
lesson.
Yes.
And that's it.
Well, that's really wonderful, and I'm looking at all our callers that are on the line here. I could see a handful just came on. They're probably looking forward to Jazz with John. I can see some places. I think I have my nephew on this thing, and he just had another new little baby son very recently, and so I got to be there for that. And, you know, the generations is really, really, really an important thing. So with lots of love and aloha to Auntie Annabelle and for all, you know, the ways that she blessed this community. So many people here that are doing that. We're going to go out with Xavier Rudd, some of his music here. This song is called Hanalei, and it was requested by a listener in Kona, Hawaii, and about our reefs. And then as that fades, we're going to go into the county council report. So this has been Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. And so I, you know, it's so funny. I always get nervous when I'm about to play music because that's not the show.